The Sea Alaska Heritage Institute is sponsoring a series of lectures honoring Native American Awareness Month. The series got underway last week with two talks featuring Southeast Natives reflecting on the land claims movement and statehood. KMXT's Casey Kelly has more.
Former Sea Alaska President and CEO Byron Mallott spoke Monday about the history of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act and the effect it's had on Native people. More than 99% of the land given to Native corporations under ANCSA remains in Native hands today. Mallott says that shows the corporations have stayed true to the original idea behind the land claims movement.
Preserve the land for future generations. It was all across the state at the village level.
But with the discovery of oil in Prudhoe Bay in 1968, Mallott says the major factor in ANCSA's 1971 passage became economics, resulting in the formation of the regional Native corporations.
In my head, I can understand it, but in my heart, I still have a hard time with it, this notion that ANCSA is all about economics.
But he says the corporations don't operate like most for-profit ventures, and he hopes they never will.
If we're smart about it, we can figure out a way to allow the corporations to continue to be meaningful economic engines and the tool, which is the only way I view them. There's nothing sacred about this boardroom. There's nothing sacred about ANCSA. It's just a damn for-profit corporation, a tool that we can use as best we can in order to create some economic opportunity for our shareholders. The essence of who we are lies in the land, and we need to figure out a way to keep that in Native hands no matter what happens with the corporate institution.
On Tuesday, University of Alaska Anchorage professor Jean Breinig spoke about Southeast Native perspectives on statehood. She says Native people shared many of the same concerns as non-Natives, which ultimately led to Alaska becoming the 49th state. Natives wanted more control over their traditional hunting and fishing grounds, and the burning issue in Southeast was the use of fish traps. Breinig says organizations like the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood came out against the traps.
And the way that they got rid of the fish traps, it was outlawed in the state constitution. So that was the hope, that was the promise, and that actually happened.
But it was far from unanimous. Before they were banned, Native villages like Metlakatla, Cake, and Angoon operated traps, and Breinig says Angoon even voted against statehood in 1958 because of the trap issue. She says for Native people, it was less about the use of fish traps and more about control over the fishery resource.
In truth, Native people really wanted access to their fish game located on the land and waters they'd occupied for millennia, and it was less important to them whether it was federal control or state control. It was more about getting back control.
50 years later, Breinig says many Native people are disappointed with how state control over fish and game turned out. She says it hasn't proven to be better, just different. After her speech, she said the issue of subsistence, with dual federal and state control, needs to be resolved, and she applauds State Senator Albert Kukesh for his efforts to do that.
The fact that he's taken that on, and he's willing to put himself out there and take a stand, is good, because we need some resolution on this. We need to move forward on that and get it figured out.
Breinig is Haida, originally from Kasan on Prince of Wales Island. She teaches English at UAA with a focus on American Indian and Alaska Native literature. The Sea Alaska Heritage Institute is sponsoring research she's doing on the statehood issue. SHI's lecture series continues through November 24th. All talks are free and open to the public. Other topics include Southeast Native languages and encounters between area Natives and European explorers. A full list is available online at SeaAlaskaHeritage.org. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.